My original purity and integrity is my reality. I am illumined. This is the 11th lecture of the 11-day spiritual retreat, July 9th today, with our daily topics for our lectures. My original purity and integrity is my reality. I am illumined. Many times we try to change ourselves in being all that we can be. And in shortchanging ourselves in being all that we can be, we are taking less than all that we are. And, of course, this is not unusual, but it is something that is done quite frequently. So, how can it be done quite frequently and yet not be too dangerous for us to do it? My original purity and integrity is my reality. All of us stem from our original purity and integrity. We are out of the one mind. We are the one mind. We are in the one mind. We are a creation of the one mind, and we are the one mind that we are a creation of. We are in, as, and of that which we are created out of. So, we are, so to speak, out of our parents. We are, so to speak, out of the divine, out of the allness. Now, our question is a simple question. What is my original purity and integrity? What is my original purity and integrity? Well, my original purity and integrity is the joy that I have in living. It is the sparkle that I have in living. It's being my divine self. Now, you say, well, has anyone ever been their divine self? Yes, everyone is their divine self. But we like to play masquerade. And we play masquerade that we are limited. We play masquerade that we are human. We play masquerade that we are not divine. That's a masquerade. Now, can a beautiful woman take the face of a devil, a mask, and put it on her face and make herself unintelligible to others? Sure. Do people look and say, oh, that's the devil, that's the devil, that's the devil, and think, oh, that's terrible, that's terrible, and worry about it and be afraid and back away from it? And here it's maybe a little 9-year-old girl who's wearing the face of the devil and playing the game of the devil, going around making moaning sounds and so forth. And everyone says, oh, how terrible, how terrible. And then she drops the mask and that's a little girl. That's a little girl. She is her original purity and her original integrity. But that's a little girl. And yet, we adults, were taken in by that little girl. We were taken in by that costume, that disguise, that mask, that illusion. We were taken in by it. We believed it was real. And so it is. We go to the movies, and the actor plays dead, and we think he's dead. And when the show is over, he gets up and goes home. We believe that the men and women are angry at each other in the show because they put on such a good show. And so we think, oh, man, I wouldn't want to live with a shrew like that. And then she off stage, she's the most gentle, loving person that you could ever imagine. But on stage, she is really a toughie. She really plays the game well. She enjoys playing the game. Now, why do you enjoy pretending that you're not something? Why do little children love to put on their parents' clothing and walk around with the pants far too long, and the shoes far too big and all those other things? And, of course, the cosmetics they love to use, too. Well, why do they like to do that? Well, they want to put on a costume. They want to put on a disguise. They want to put on a mask. They want to pretend. Let's pretend. Now, I think it'd be a good idea for the University of Healing to come out with a new game. Let's pretend. That's a game they've got already. Yeah, but our game is different. Let's pretend I am divine. Let's pretend I am my original purity and integrity. How would you act if you thought you were pretending that you were your original purity and integrity? Now, anything you want, any crop you want, any condition you want to help you do that, it's there. Now, how would you pretend your original purity and integrity? Now, you say, well, anything that you think you would play representing your original purity and integrity would be a limitation. Mm-hmm. It would have to be because you only think in relative terms. Now, can you think in the allness term, in the isness term, in the absolute term? Can you think absolute? Whew. Everybody wants to jump into the University of Philosophy program and think in the absolute, but wow. When you get in there, it's heady. It's very responsive. It's very demanding. Now, think about it. When you are in your original purity and integrity, when you're in your higher level of awareness, whatever that may be, what are you doing? What sort of thing are you doing? How are you acting? How do children act like their parents? Because their parents acted around the children, and the children picked up a copy of it, and they did the same thing. The mother hollered at the father shouted at the mother, and where's dinner? You know, where's my shoes? Where's this? Blah, blah, blah. You know, take the garbage out. Oh, your aunt asked me to take the garbage out. Don't you ever? You know, and the kids act just like that. Now, can you imagine if children had loving parents, unconditionally loving parents, to model their life on, what those children would be like? We saw a show the other night, 12's a family or something like that, and in this,
Cheaper by the Dozen,
and in this film, the father says to his daughter, look, I care about you. I'm not letting you go out with some of these young men who are not responsible for themselves. They think that anything goes, that they can, if they can encourage a girl to go beyond the limits, they're going to do that. I'm not going to let you do that. I'm going to babysit, you know, while you're building up your character, while you're building up your resistance to the lures of these handsome young boys. And so then, while the girl was dancing with the handsome young boy she wanted very much, who was just a smidgen older than she, and certainly more practiced, he says, your dad's here? Wow. I wish my dad had done that for me. You know, I wish my dad had cared enough about me to watch over me while I was, you know, waking up to life and stuff like that. And you're very fortunate to have your dad care enough about you. And, you know, your dad probably thinks that when you go out here, you're going to go out with some of these young bucks who are going to be take advantage of you and do things that they shouldn't do. And she said, that's just what my dad said. See? Now, this young man, where did he hear it from? Probably from his father. Where did she hear it from? Her father. And you see, they were attracted to each other because they had that same charisma without realizing it. He played the, you know, playboy and the gallant individual, whereas actually he was a very gentle soul. That's why he appealed to her and she appealed to him. They were of kindred spirit. Now, when parents raise their children like this and the children object, of course they're going to object because they're going to try their wings in any way they can and see if their parents are responsible, if their parents really live up to what the parents think they should do. And the children are going to go, you know, playing their games like they did. She had high heels and she had cut hair and she did many of the things that she wanted to do. And her father said, what's coming on here? What's going off here? But the integrity that they learned in their family. Oh, it may seem to you and to me a little brilliant. It's like the sound of music. You know, we blew the whistle and the kids came. But he did it with a little different feeling than this guy.
Yeah.
This guy did it with, he's an efficiency expert. And they all know he's an efficiency expert. And he's trying to see how quickly they can come and how quickly they can do this. And not because it's right or wrong, or not because he's being boss over them. And then he goes to each and snuggles them, you know. And, you know, that's a whole different from the sound of music. But, you see, those kids are raised on that pure love. Those kids are raised, they were ready to have their father go. They were ready to work with their mother and be responsible. Now, she's going to be gone how long? 2 months. 2 months she's going to be in Europe giving lectures. 2 months. And their father had just died, and they were going to have to take care of themselves. She had some helpers in there, but they had to take care of themselves. Now, what... how well they were trained, how prepared they were for this very wonderful experience that they were going to have that they could never have dreamed of having, you know. But their original purity and integrity was not too far away. Their original purity and integrity was very close in. Now, this little story that I always tell about the mother bringing the little new baby home, and the 5-year-old brother standing at the window watching, you know, and they put the baby in the bed and they whisper sweet nothings to it and close the door. And the little boy goes up and says, "I want to see my new sister." And his mother says, yeah, how, you know. And she thinks the worst. She thinks that he wants to get rid of her competition. And he says, "No, I want to see my little sister alone." Oh, my. So the mother peeks in the door while he's going in to see his little sister. And then he goes up to the crib, and the little sister's laying there, you know, she's not asleep yet. And he says, "Quick, tell me, before they make you forget, what's God like?" You see, the original purity and integrity, the original oneness, the original allness is there. You come with it. You come with it, and then you're trained out of it. You're trained out of it. The school for 12 Christ children. It's a reality. But every family, that family could have had 12 Christ children, couldn't they? Yeah. But the thing is, and they did pretty close. But every family could be that way. When you keep the children, don't keep the children, but when you encourage the children to follow what they are when they came, their original purity and integrity. Now, if you are a normal human being, you don't have the training yourself to train somebody else how to be their original self. We all feel that we know better than some little child what's the right thing to do. And perhaps we do, under the human circumstance. But under the divine circumstance, the little child knows fully what to do. Why then do we get in the way? Why then do we get in our way? Now, we're talking about all this stuff, and it's kind of nice. But now let's talk about something that makes sense to us. How can I go back to my original purity and integrity and experience it? A long time ago. How can I go back and experience it? Now, the first place, we don't go back. It's still here, very much with us. We have just put a costume over it. We put a costume called humanity over it. We put a costume called the relative over it. We could have put a costume called diapers over it, you know, or little girl's clothes or boy's clothes. We put a costume over it called age. You know, what are we supposed to be saying? I am vital, dynamic, alive. I am bubbling with
over.
I am bubbling over with enthusiasm. I thought it was witch enthusiasm. With enthusiasm, bubbling over with enthusiasm. Now, see, we don't return to anything. We can't. But we can
reveal it.
Reveal it. That's the girl. We can reveal it. because it's always there, it always was there, and we must not be afraid that it might not be there. Because if we think it might not be there, we can't find it even when it's there. My dad would send us out to the workbench, remember? And he'd say, "There's a hammer on the workbench, bring it to me." And so all his kids would go out one at a time. We couldn't find that hammer. We looked and we looked and we looked. And then finally he said to us, "The hammer is right there in the middle of the workbench. If I have to come out there and find it, you're going to feel it." And so we went out there, and lo and behold, the hammer was there, right in the middle of the workbench, right where he told us it was, right from the very beginning. But we didn't look because we didn't care. We were irresponsible. We were thinking of other things. We were thinking that's a burden for him to tell us to go look for that hammer, even though, you know, we should do that. We should help our dad, you know. But we didn't. And we found it. And that's what you do when you're looking for your original purity and integrity. It's right there in the middle of the workbench, right where you're told it is. It's right there, right in the middle. If you want to hide jewelry in your house, then put it out on the table nobody thinks it's worthwhile picking up, you know. If you want to hide money, put it in the Monopoly game, you know. Who thinks it's real, you know? But, I mean, it's true. You put it where people don't expect things out of nature. And now, of course, everybody's going to look in the Monopoly game. But, you see, that's the trouble when these terrorists are reported in the newspapers and their techniques of how they were terrorized. So then the next technique they use, they embellish on that. And that's silly. So, now, how do we find our original purity and integrity? We find our original purity and integrity by saying, "I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows the answer. I know that I know that I know." And we listen. And we listen. And we follow. And we know what's going on. Now, are you ready for such a thing? Are you ready for living in your original purity and integrity? Because if you start living in your original purity and integrity, there will be no family anymore. There will be no mother and father, no sisters and brothers, no aunts and uncles and cousins. There will be no friends. There will be no teachers. There will be nothing. There will only be you. But you see, then you will begin looking out of your divine self, out of your original purity and integrity self, which you should have been doing all along and could have been doing. And what will you see? Every person in your world will be unconditional love with you. They'll be wonderful, they'll be beautiful, they'll be fantastic. And you will be content and you'll feel so good about it. You'll feel so rewarded about it. You feel that everything is in divine order. And then there's nothing more to search. Now, what are some ways of practicing unconditional love? What are some ways of practicing our original purity and integrity? Unconditional love. What are some ways of practicing original purity and integrity? Unconditional love. No. Every day we have a jillion opportunities to practice unconditional love. We have so many opportunities to be loving. Do you ever judge yourself or anybody else? Then stop it and be unconditionally loving without judgment. You say, "Oh, it's okay. All is in divine order." Do you ever possess anything? That's my hat, coat, shirt, mother, father, whatever. Do you ever possess anything? That's me, mine, that's my body. Do you ever possess anything? So long as you possess it, you have nothing. When you don't possess it, you have everything. Now, what happens when you don't possess your body? That which is not consistent with the perfect body fades away. Make sense? When you do not possess your body, that which is consistent with a perfect body no longer is there. So you want to have your perfect body? Then stop being possessed by it. Stop feeling that you got to feed it this stuff and drink it this stuff and do it this stuff. Do it because it's fun. Get out and exercise and do things. Now, I walk the path. And the more times I walk the path, the more times I want to walk the path. Now you say, "Well, that's 3 miles. You know, 3, 6, 9, 12, that, you know, 15 miles in no time at all. My God, when do you have time to do anything else? That's a good point, you know. When do you have time to do anything else? Well, you don't need time. You don't need time because you're so content in yourself. You're so alert. You're so alive. You're so excited about yourself. And really, what difference does it make? What difference would it make if nobody ever gave lectures, you know? What difference would it make if nobody ever came to a lecture? What difference would it make if we never had a school, you know? Be yourself and have fun. Can you be yourself and have fun on Desert Island? Oh, yes, I'd like that. Nonsense. Can you imagine somebody like Sam going to a desert island? He's very gregarious. He likes people. He wants to be with people. If Sam weren't with people, he would feel very empty. Not because it's bad, but just because he's a people person. Sylvia, she can't stand not to be with people. She loves to be with people. When she has no people around her, she feels there's something missing. Ingeborg is the same way. She loves people. Ingeborg says, I don't love people. I want to be by myself. No, you really love people. You live in a world of people, even if you're not living in a physical world of them right now. And Seville, she's dashing from pillar to post with people and having a ball. Ellen, she's a people person. She's got to have people. How many hermits do you know here? How many hermits have you ever met in your life who are content to be by themselves, needing nothing from anybody else ever? How many have you ever met, and don't say me, because you've never seen me that way. You've only seen me as a people person. But how many hermits have you really met? How many gurus, you know, living alone in their cave, you know, and living naked in their cave in the winter, the summer, spring, and the fall, and what have you? And how many of them have you seen or known, or even have you thought about them maybe, you know? But, you know, every time you think about a cave, you think about a salubrious weather in the cave. You think about being very comfortable. You think about it all, running water, you know, and even a little pool back there with a jacuzzi in the back of the cave, you know, or maybe a Swimex in there, you know, to enjoy. And then you have a skylight here or there to, you know, to bring in the outdoors when you want to. And, maybe a couple of boys that are training to be gurus, to be working for you, to bring your food to you and prepare things and clean things up for you and what have you. You know, but they stay out of sight, so nobody knows they're there, you know. And the jacuzzi and the Swimex are out of sight. Nobody knows it's there. All they see is this barren entryway with you sitting on a stone at the bearing, and they think that you sit there 24 hours a day, you know, and naked, you know. And the cold wind blows in. They feel the cold wind. You don't feel it because, you know, you are immune to anything like that. You are comfortable under all circumstances. Now, interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. The minute I said jacuzzi,
I love it.
Then all of you say, yes, that's the kind of hermitage I could enjoy. It's a type of cave I could enjoy. Oh, yes. And then first you go back in further. There's my library back there. And there's my bedroom with my electric bed in it, you know. and there's the pool room, you know. And then the computer room, you know, and all that other stuff. Why not? Why not? And out front, people think it's just a barren cave, not very attractive at all, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what the master maybe even had, or some had, some had not.
Ellen, every master has what each master thinks about.
Right.
Every master has what each master thinks about,
right.
No matter what.
Yeah.
And you see, the thing is, you think it's incredible that such a thing could be, whereas really, it's quite normal. It's quite normal. Now, when Sylvia was talking about her brother living up in the cave up in the Himalayas, what was she talking about? Herself.
Mm-hmm.
Herself. Now, if she had been honest and saw herself there, she wouldn't have had to come back. Wouldn't that have been interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Now she says, but I sort of miss all this stuff. No, you wouldn't miss it. You see, once you find and make the connection with your original purity and integrity. Once you find and make that connection, there is no other connection. Everything is in perfect, wonderful order. I think Daniel might refer to everything is in perfect divine order. Everything is in perfect divine order when I lean back and forth here. Whereas if I were to take this thing and hold it up, you know, in my hand and have it here all the time, then it might be consistent, you know. But of course, this might be rubbing against my hand. But who knows? He says it's clear and wonderful. We'll have to listen to it back. We've not done that. That might be very interesting with him.
Yeah.
So, think about this once. Think about this. Are you ready? You see, I spoke about spiritual healing. And in spiritual healing, when you have a spiritual healing, you might have a stubbed toe, spiritual healing. And you never remember that you ever had a stubbed toe. Your toe never feels having been stubbed. And the rock against which you stubbed your toe or whatever it was is not there anymore. It is an illumined experience because it was just there for your enjoyment, for your stubbingness. Now, think about that. Think about that. How would you respond to something like that? How would you respond to being spiritually healed of something in the past? Now, if Sybille were spiritually healed, and she wanted to be spiritually healed of all the negative things that might have ever been in her life, everything, what would happen? Sybille would be a brand new baby because everything that happened in her life was negative. Everything was human. Everything was relative. Everything was negative. Now, everything human and relative is negative. Now, Herb, that's a big statement to make. Yes, it is. But it's true. Everything human is negative. Now, why is everything human negative? Sylvia, why is everything human negative?
Because it's all, it's an illusion. And
it's not real.
It's not real, and it's limited. And it's relative because there's judgment in it, there's possession in it, all these things which are not in the divine, you know, like...
Well, we don't want to say it's not divine. What we want to say is it's not in the unlimited, unconditionally loving aspect of the divine.
Right.
But you see, all these illusions can only be illusions when we create them. And if we create them and we're not all bad, then the illusion cannot be all bad. Now, that the illusion takes us nowhere. For instance, have you ever dreamt that you were falling? And you're falling and falling and falling, and you think to yourself, my gosh, I'm falling forever, you know. When is this going to end? And then you wake up. You know? Now, is that a positive illusion to be falling? It's sort of a feeling of helplessness. It's a feeling of not being in control. You see, and then the minute you ever, in your dream, see yourself falling, and you can do anything you want in your dreams. The minute you're in your dream, you see yourself falling, you say, I am flying. I am flying. And put out your arms if you want to do anything you want and say, I am flying and I will fly like this and this and this. I'm gliding, you know. And then, or maybe I'm under the water. I'm swimming under the water. Or I'm doing whatever you want to do. As I was walking in the store yesterday, on all the televisions, they had this picture of this guy with a airplane pulling him, and he is water skiing. And he is water skiing, and the airplane is pulling his paraglider. He is water skiing under his paraglider. And the paraglider is going up and going down, and he's zooming through the water with his board, you know, his ski board. and then flies up in the air and he flips over and he does this and he's all the time connected, you know. And then he's down in the water again and zipping along, and he's just really quite artistic, quite amazing. And this is everyone's dream, to sort of fly, you know. But of course, and from our point of view, we couldn't see anything except him flying on that board. We saw a line going up, but that was just his umbilical cord. That was just his golden thread back to reality. But it's really quite something to see these things and to see the illusions that people make. Now, we look at the movies that Disney puts out and others, and they're pure illusions, wonderful. Beautiful cartoons, and the cartoons are doing it. They try to make the people in the cartoons as human as possible. And in making them human, what are they doing? They're making them unrealistic. Unrealistic that a elephant would be like a person, you know. And of course, they put elephant suit on him and so forth. Dumbo, big ears, and he flapped his ears and he flew to the top of the tree. Hey, cool, huh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And he only did that because he drank some water in which somebody had spilled some liquor, and he got high. And so then he flapped his wings and flew up in the sky. Really quite an amazing thing. But our original purity and integrity just is right here, waiting for us to reveal it, waiting for us to enjoy it, waiting for us to live it. Now, we watched the show Cocoon. And in the show Cocoon, the girl, the beautiful girl, she was a very charming girl, very personable girl. But then she went into her bedroom, and she was going to go to bed. So she took off her clothing. Well, her clothing included her outer shell of her head, her whole body. She looked like an outer spaceman, you know, like the outer space people who have just these light heads. And she was what? Pure
light.
She was pure light. Now, okay, then let's just pretend. That's her original purity and integrity. Okay? That's her original purity. She took off this outer clothing of her body, of her skin, so to speak, and she was the pure white light of love inside. Now, isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting that we could have a glimpse of that? Now, her friends, who were also there from outer space, they did the same thing. Now, that is a joke. That is not real. This is something the imagination of the film writers brought up, because this is not real. Well, the film writers could not bring it up unless it were real, unless it were indeed real. And perhaps it's even more sophisticated than they brought it up. We only saw the simple outer picture of it. But we are bodies of light, like we like to say. And, of course, everyone likes to believe that, too. We are bodies of light. Our original purity and integrity is a body of light, and it's beautiful. And we want to learn to attach ourselves to make ourselves one with this body of light. We want to live in that reality, and I am illumined. We want to live in that reality. We want to live in that allness of our illumination. Now, if you see the movie Cocoon, you'll see this woman stepping out of her outer clothing and other people who are there, and you think to yourself, wow. And what happens when you see the light? The light spreads everywhere. And what did the woman, young man, want to be loving to the young woman? And he says, let's be loving. And she says, all right, you want to be loving our way? And he says, well, all right, you know. And loving her way was throwing a beam of light, which was a ball of light that would bounce here and bounce there and bounce there and go and scare people, because they come right at you. You know, you think this ball of light is going to overwhelm you, and of course it could. But it was just a lot of fun. They pulled out all the stops on their imagination and pretended that this is what it was. And of course, it probably is. Now, how do we prepare ourselves for our original purity and integrity, our reality? How do we prepare ourselves for that? Well, be unconditionally loving. I work with you on that in every way that I can. And to be unconditionally loving, you're untouchable. You are not touched by what you see in the world because all you see is good, but you're practicing at it. See, little by little, you're practicing and practicing and practicing until finally you only see good. Now, you have bad eyes, and your eyes are out of alignment, and so you have to wear glasses. And so the doctor says you could do the Bates program and train your eyes and get them back in shape if you want to. And so he said, wow, yes, 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 yes. So you train your eyes, and it doesn't happen immediately. You train your eyes, you train your eyes, you train your eyes, and nothing happens. But you are a resilient and a persistent person, and you stay with it. You stay with it. You stay with it for months and for years, and you're training your eyes to see without glasses. You're training your eyes to see without glasses. You're training them. You're working, you're working, you're working, you're working. And then one day you start realizing, hey, I'm not training myself. Oh, shoot, I stopped training. And then you realize you're reading without glasses. You're looking at distance without glasses. You have perfect 20/20 vision or whatever it is you want. But you don't know. You don't know when that moment comes when you go from not doing it to doing it. You don't know. But it comes to those who are persistent, to those who keep going, 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 even when it doesn't appear like it's happening. You see, unconditional love comes to us in that same way. When we persist in using whatever it is that we do in the most beautiful, fantastic way, then great things happen. And, of course, that's good. Now, another point is our one-pointedness. What do you think about when you're walking the meditation path? I like me, I'm divine order and peace. I like me, I'm divine. And 100 million other thoughts go through your mind. I like me, I'm divine order and peace. I like me, I'm divine order. Well, start complicating your phrase. I like me, I'm divine order and peace. I'm spiritually healed. I am independently wealthy. You see, and then I like me, I'm divine order and peace. I'm spiritually healed. I'm independently wealthy. You say those phrases for a day or two. And then you have to add more. And then you say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. And keep adding phrases. The minute your mind starts wanting to slip away, keep adding phrases, because then you're impressing your consciousness with these phrases, with the things that you really want, and with the results of those phrases, which are quite wonderful, quite wonderful. Now, be one-pointed. That's just one area, one way of doing it. Be unpossessed. Now, you say, I'm unpossessed, I'm unpossessed. And I say, great. What did you just say?
I'm possessed.
I am. So you're possessed. You're possessed by the fact that you are I am.
Yeah.
And you see, but her, what? Well, can you just be? Can you just be the allness of the universe? Can you just be God? Can you just be love? Can you just be peace? Do you have to be peace yourself? You have to possess it, you know, my house, my coat, my body, you know, my world, my children, my family, whatever. Can you just be? It's not easy. It's not easy because we have trained ourselves in possession from the very first way. Little children go to play, and the mother says, now, you make sure that you bring your toys home. I'm letting you take your toys in the house to play with them, but they're your toys. Now, you bring them back when you're done playing. And the little kid, he doesn't care. He doesn't care if his bike is underneath the wheels of Dad's car, you know. He doesn't care. You drove over my bike. Well, your bike shouldn't have been there. Well, your car shouldn't have been there. It's a driveway for my car. It's a place I keep it, you know. Well, you should have looked. Yeah, I guess I should have. But you must look, too. Do you treasure your bike? Okay, then put it away. Now, your next bike is not going to come till your birthday, and that's another 3 months. So between now and your birthday, give you time to think about putting your bike away. Yeah. But again, that's a side issue. The point is, we're learning unconditional love. We're learning unconditional love. We're learning non-possession. We're learning the ability to not be possessed by who we are, what we have, you know, or any of these things. That's not easy to do because, again, we've been trained from childhood on these things. Now, and the last one here that we have is no judgment. No judgment. Now, how do we have that, no judgment? Well, all just is, and we just are, and we are fantastic. It's wonderful. We are just fantastic, and that's the way we want to be, and that's the type of thing we want to be. Now, we're going to put this on pause for a minute, and somehow, I guess we put it to stop. Going. So we're just going to keep on going. We have 41 minutes here. And we have my original purity and integrity is my reality. I am illumined. And I am drowsy. So we will say, I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
And we will say, that is it.